Kids, come on down the front. Oh, you guys are ready already. Okay, come on down. Excellent. Oh, we got a few big kids as well. Ooh, here we go. I might run out here. This is excellent. All right. Oh, come on. All righty. Okay, who's ready to go back to school? Excellent. Okay. You are no longer little kids. On your feet. Come on. On your feet. Everybody up. Yes, I know I'm mean and nasty today. We're going to play a game. You want to know the game? Nope. Oi, no back chat from you today. Today's game is called Count the Cost on the count of three. One, two, three. You boys are flabby. You girls, come on. On the count of three, I want you to say, count the cost. Ready? One, two, three. It's all right. Let's see if the oldies can do it. On the count of three. One, two, three. Very good. Mark's excellent this game. He's counted the cost all his life. You ready? You going to count the cost? You ready to count the cost? You ready to count the cost, Lockie? Yeah, good boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Steve. All right. If you want to play the game, you have to do something to get it. No free passes today. No free lollies. No free anything. You have to. Thank you very much, Mark. Work with me, people. Work with me. Thank you very much. That's the only thing you're allowed to say all day. Count the cost. Very good. If you want to play the game, you have to. Very good. You ready to know what you have to do? You have to. Very.
You have to count money.
No. You have to very carefully, because I don't want to have any workplace health and safety claims, run down the side there, around the back, and then back up here, and everybody that does that will achieve something. You ready? Set? Go! All right, come back, come back. That's it. Pick him up. Well done. Excellent work. Good work. Very good. That's very good. Nobody gets left behind. Very good. Good work. Okay, now how many people achieved that goal?
I did.
All right. Put up your hand. Everybody who did that gets a dollar. All righty. Who got it? Yep, a dollar. A dollar.
Oh, I got $2.
No. I got to count the costs. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Who else did that? Yep, you did it. All right. Okay. Oh, Diego, we're going to go close. All right, everyone else did it? Yes. Who else has got a dollar coin? You got a dollar coin? Yep, you got one. All righty, now, to play the game, you have to pay your $1 to count the cost. Thank you very much. Sheesh. All right, you got to pay your $1 to count the cost, and then you get to pick one of these mystery things. You want to go first? You sure? You sure? How about we let a girl go first? Okay. All right. We'll go girl, boy, girl, boy. Is that, can I? All right. All in favor of girl, boy, girl, boy? Very good. Okay. Shh. We're losing control here. Oh, as always. Okay. Are you ready to count the cost?
Yes.
All right. Give me the money. Okay, now which one? Now careful, that one's moving. Which one do you want to go for? Oh, and have a look underneath. There might be something else in there. Oh, there is! Congratulations, you counted the cost and you won a little pocket frisbee and a muscle man that hangs off the glass. Well done. All right, who's next to count the cost? You got to count the cost, okay? Give me the money. Oh, Lockie, you're going to let Lockie go. Okay, nice. Lockie, give me the money. Yep, good boy. All right, now which one of these do you want? All right, oh, is that the one we did? We can get rid of that one. Oh, you won an apple. Woohoo! There you go. Okay, go and sit down. Okay, a girl. We need a girl. Very good. Okay, you ready to go? Are you ready to count the cost? Very good. Okay, what are you going to go for? Oh, There it is. It's a piece of crunched up paper. Oh. And some balls. Very good. Okay. Is it guy, girl? Okay, all right. Very good. Oh, you're going for the big one. Hold on a sec. Have you filled in the relevant forms? You don't know. There could be something interesting under this one. Are you prepared to count the cost? You are? Just because it's big doesn't mean it's good. Okay, you ready? Set. Go! It's carrots!
I don't like carrots. I don't want them.
It's about counting the cost, folks. All right, we're ready to go again. Who are we up to? All right, we need some... you ready to do this? Okay, you got a dollar? There we go. I know, there's carrots left. Don't worry. Ready, set, which one are you going to open? You got beans! No, snow peas. Do you like snow peas? Well, that's a win. Good. There you go. You can take the whole plate. There you go. There we go. All right, we have one left. Oh, looks like Ollie is our last chance. There we go. You ready to count the cost, Ollie?
Yeah.
You've only got one choice. Are you going to make that choice? Okay, open it up. It's stuck together. It's the tough one. And it is a lollipop the size of my fist. Sorry, Nathan and Cindy. Oh, you want the carrots? Did you say you wanted the carrots? Oh, would you like a... Oh, you've already got a price. Girls, would you like a carrot? There you go. Share the carrot. All right, everybody, sitting down. Ah, very good question. Okay, sitting down. All right, now... let me answer the question for you right now. With this game of count the cost, you all had to do something to achieve to get something, all right? So often in life, that's what you need to do. You have to do something to be able to achieve something. You have to put in the hard work. You have to go to school to learn. You have to save up money to buy things. This is the reality of life. And walking with God, you have to be a part of a group, a team, to unite together, to learn from people who have gone before, people that will teach you about God's word. People that will help you to pray, people that will join with you to pray through things. There's a cost in all these things that we do. Now, some of you have still got your dollar coins. They're yours. You can keep those, okay? So you all win in this, all right? Oh, no, you got an apple. I'm sorry. All right. All right, let me pray for you, and I'm going to hand back to Cindy and the team. Father God, we thank you for these brilliant young people. We thank you for their love for you and their love for one another. We ask that you watch over them. And all that they do. In Jesus' name. And all of God's kids said, all right, God bless you. Well, folks, it is indeed a good day, a special day, having Brendan with us today. For those of you that have met the Rule family, Elijah, JJ, and Sarah. Sarah led us beautifully in that, I have decided. Thank you, Sarah. So we're just going to pray.
Thank you.
It's going to be exciting. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your giftings and talents that you place into our lives. Father, thank you that we are your body, the body of Christ, the church. And Father God, I pray that this year, in more and more ways, that we will see you stir up your giftings and your talents and your way that you want to work in and through us. And so, Father, today, we pray, Lord God, you continue to stir up the gift inside Brendan. I ask, Lord God, that you would fill him anew with your Holy Spirit right now and that he will bring your word to us at this time. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Bless you, mate.
Thank you, Donnie. I might steal a music stand as well. So it's great being here, great being part of this church, and we've certainly enjoyed our time here so far. And just about a year or so ago is when we actually made the move to the coast. And a couple of things we found when my family and I moved to the coast, so we noticed that things were a little bit different to what we had experienced in Brisbane. First things that we noticed was that the temperature was a little bit different. And up on the screen there, I've got some temperatures for you, some of the average temperatures from where we came from and where we are now. So the first screen is the average temperatures where we used to live. January, average maximum, 32. Oh, that's a bit not real nice. And the July minimum was 7, which was average and not real nice either. Where we are now... it's much better. 28.9 is January maximum average. That's pretty good. I can handle that. And especially it's a little bit warmer too in winter. 9.6 degrees average, so that's actually not too bad. Something else that we noticed when we moved to the coast, the fish were different. So here's a photo of the fish we used to catch in Brisbane. That's actually a nice fish. That's it's probably 30 or so brim. Well done, Sarah. A nice catch there. Both Sarah and the fish are very good catches. So that's the fish we catch in Brisbane. And then when we went fishing at the coast, we all of a sudden started catching those ones. That was in April, I think. That was a nice big sambo, so that was pretty decent. And also something else we noticed that was different about the coast was the waves. So here's the waves in Brisbane. There's the waves. Yeah, epic. And here's the waves on the Sunshine Coast. So they're a little bit different. So all these different things were cool. And also because of, said waves, that was gave me the opportunity to do something that I've always wanted to do, was that to try to learn how to surf. And I had a friend in Brisbane who had a board that he never used anymore because he lived in Brisbane. So I borrowed his board, and first chance I got out there on the surf and gave it a go. And nothing was going to stop me getting out there and giving it a go, not even Tropical Cyclone Winston. I don't know if you remember, but last year now, in February, there was a cyclone off the coast, and the surf was really, really massive. That's the first opportunity I had. I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a go. What could possibly go wrong? So it was quite like that. And in my defense, I wasn't surfing where those guys were. I was further around the corner in Moolabar Spit, where usually there's no waves, but with the cyclone there were some waves. And so I got out there, got amongst it, got roughed up a bit, as you might imagine. And one particular wave picked me up and, smashed me into the ground, and that wasn't very nice. And I thought, I might give it a miss now. So I walked out of the surf and I was thinking, my leg really hurts. I must have really banged it hard that time. And I looked down and I've got blood all over my leg, and the great big cut across the top here. And it's just like I've succumbed to an injury that surfers know as fin chop. And it's sliced my leg open and it ain't cool. So I'm like, ah! So I sort of cover it up and then sort of hobble over to where Sarah is on the beach and put towels on it and get the lifesavers to come over and have a look. And they give me a lecture about how I shouldn't be in the surf today. I said, yes, it's true, I know. And so they clean it up a bit, and then they say, get to a medical center. So I got to a medical center, and they said, you shouldn't have been in the surf today. And I go, yeah, I know. So I got a whole bunch of stitches. But the good thing is, I got all fixed up, and then I got back out in the surf when my leg was better. And I'm still trying to surf, about 9 months later now, and it's still going well. Now, usually in my life, when I encounter such a traumatic and terrible experience when I try something, I give up because that's the natural thing to do. Hey, that wasn't cool. I'm not going to do that again. And when I think about my life, there's many things in life I've sort of like, okay, yeah, I'm going to try that thing. I'm going to do it. And after a month, I've realized that I'm not doing it anymore. So the last couple of weeks we've been talking about how in this year, how we can live a more resilient life. And James is talking about how we want to look ahead and not behind. And Donnie is talking about getting off to a good start. And this has been some really good stuff. But if we can take all that stuff on board and then find out we're not doing it in a month's time, then it's kind of like all that stuff has been wasted. So this morning, as a conclusion to our series, I want to look at how we keep going in something. How can we stick to something? Because, our mission for this year, God's mission, our mission, and if we can, stick to that for a whole year, it's going to be a great thing for us as a church and be great things for us as individuals. And so I reckon if I can keep up surfing after getting my leg cut up open and all that kind of stuff, then, we can keep up with God's mission for this year. So I'm going to use three biblical authors this morning just because it's the ending of this sort of part of our mini-series at the beginning of the year. So I hope you don't think I'm being greedy. So if you want to get your Bibles out, and I've got some a very exclusive Bible reader in as well, because we've got some relatives staying with us and they're freeloaders, so I thought I'd give them a job. So Kerry's going to read the Bible for us this morning. We're going to start at Luke 14. Just grab it. It's number one, I think. That's the one with the one on it. And Kerry's going to ring us from Luke 14. Thanks, Kerry.
Luke 14, verses 25 to 34. The cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples."
Great. So, Mark, what does Luke say? Count the cost.
I'll count the cost.
I thought, who's going to come through for me here? It'll be Mark. Nah. Well, here's the thing. Jesus here, whoa, man. That's a bit full on. You know, he's talking about hating people. Like, come on. Does it have to be hate Jesus? Like, can we go for, like, strongly dislike or maybe slightly disagree with? What is Jesus doing here? Does he want us to, you know, change the channels when Dad's trying to watch cricket on TV or skip our mother's birthday or something like that? Well, there's good news and bad news about that. The good news is, no, this is not to be taken literally. This is a teaching style that scholars have called a rabbinic hyperbole. It's an exaggeration that Jesus is using to teach us something. But the bad news is, it's actually serious, and we can't just shake it off. Jesus is talking about our identity. When you become a disciple of Jesus, the thing that you used to center your life around, whether it be family, friends, or social groups, political persuasions, whatever that thing is that used to sort of be your center, has to change. When you become a Christian, your identity, your allegiance, your loyalty is bound up in the things of God. We still honor our mother and father because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We are still great friends and we are great citizens of our country. But all of these things will only ever be number two in our lives. God becomes number one. And these verses reveal that when God is number one, it costs you something. You're not able to live what the world would call a normal life anymore and still be a follower of Jesus. There is no room for selfishness in the kingdom of God. There's only generosity. There's no room for revenge in the kingdom of God. There's only forgiveness. There's no room for pride or position. There's only humility. Being a follower of Jesus will cost you financially and socially and maybe, you know, opportunity-wise at work or whatever, but it's worth it. And we're going to get to the worth it bit later. And just like when I took up surfing, I had to count the cost. The cost of time away from my family, the cost of getting up really early in the morning, which is epically hard, and the financial cost of some lessons so I'd have some kind of idea of what I was doing. And that's something I had to weigh up at the beginning and decide whether that would be something that I could commit to. And my short career in surfing has cost me, it almost cost me my leg, but so far it's been really worth it. Likewise, the goals and aspirations that you may have set for yourself this year and us at our church as a mission, being on God's mission, will cost us. It's going to be hard if we want to be part of God's mission. If we want to succeed, we need to count the cost before we commit. Being part of new ministries that are happening around this place is a great idea. But before we commit to something, we should always commit. We should always count the cost and make sure that we can actually meet that commitment. and not putting ourselves on the path to burnout town. If you want to be more generous this year, and hey, we're great news about we've got this sense that, hey, we need to put on a youth pastor, that's going to cost something. And if you want to be more generous and sow into that ministry, that's fantastic and amazing. So we need to budget for that rather than finding ourselves in financial difficulty later or have to renege on something that we have pledged. All this stuff is really good for me because I'm a yes man. I'm a people pleaser. If someone asks me to do something, my default response is, sure, yep, I'll do it, no worries. And that's a problem because it means I easily get overloaded with things. And instead of doing one thing really well, I end up doing, 10 things, none of them any good, and basically I've just wasted mine and others' time. I've had to learn that when I say no to something, it's because I've already said yes to something else, and I've prioritized that yes over the no that I'm giving this person. And so it's not actually a bad thing for me to say no to this person. I can. It's a good thing for me to say no if this yes that I've already said is more important to the kingdom than this one over here. At this early stage of the year, it's a great time to review the ministries, tasks, and goals we have for the year and make sure they are prioritized appropriately. We've all have limited time and money, and so let's all be intentional about spending those things on the best things this year. And let's be unapologetic about the no's that we give because we are allowing us to do the bigger kingdom things that we think are more important. So let's be prayerful and think really carefully about how we being part of God's mission. So Luke says, count the cost. Now we're going to go to our next biblical author, and this is Paul. And Kerry, if you want to read again, this time we've got 1 Corinthians. Thanks, Kerry.
1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
When I read this Bible verse, I just think of Paul saying, discipline. You lack discipline. And when I think about lacking discipline, I can't help but think of kindergarten cop. That's what I picture in my head when Paul's talking to this Corinth church and telling them, you lack discipline. You got to put yourself into training. So I don't know if many of you are familiar with Stacky, you would be familiar with this letter that Paul has with the Corinth church and the sort of relationship he has with that church. Now, this church in Corinth, they were doing church a little bit differently the way that Paul reckoned they should have been. And in fact, they were doing things pretty poorly altogether. Here in Corinth, they were being very laissez-faire with the approach of their Christianity. They lacked self-control. They lacked restraint. They just went with whatever feels good. But that's not how Jesus tells us how we need to be. Jesus had disciples, people who disciplined themselves. Corinthians, you're doing it wrong. You lack discipline. To follow Jesus is a hard work over a long period of time. It's not like following a fad diet or the latest craze. It's not a quick blast with the bat playing T20 cricket. It's batting out the whole day in a test match. Many of you would be familiar with Eugene Peterson, who's the author of The Message, translation of the Bible, a paraphrase of the Bible. And he's got this phrase that he's borrowed from, he's actually borrowed it from Nietzsche, which is interesting, but he uses it to talk about the Christian life, and he calls it Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction. And I love that, a long obedience in the same direction. And the life of a disciple is not just believing in the words that Jesus said and say, yeah, Jesus, I agree with that. Yep, I'll believe that, sure. It's more than that because it's one of a disciple is one who follows, one who intentionally follows in someone's footsteps. We need to be not just believing the stuff that Jesus said, but also doing the stuff that he told us to do and even doing the things that he did. He's the model for us, and we need to follow that. Think about the way Jesus loved people. Think about the way he forgave people. Think about his preferential treatment for the underprivileged. Think of the way he sacrificed himself for others. That's the bar that Jesus has set for us. And yes, we're all going to fall short of that bar because we're not Jesus, but Jesus is calling us to discipline ourselves and to do our very best and to work hard at it. I don't know about you, but I am not a mornings person. I am completely not. I'm a night owl, but there's a problem with that. When I came to learn surfing, you can't surf at night. I've heard that if you surf at night, you get eaten by sharks, and I don't want to do that. Seriously, like in the morning, that's before the wind gets up and before the easterly wrecks all the nice clean lines, and then you just sort of, the surf turns to mush and you can't do anything with it. So if you want to be serious about surfing, you've got to get up in the morning and you've got to make it happen like that. And the only thing that gets me up in the morning at 5 a.m. is discipline. I had to learn to discipline myself to get up and to be able to surf. And discipline is more than just turning up as well. There's actually training that goes involved in discipline and being a disciple. My surfing instructor would always tell us how we need to be practicing paddling all the time. I'm not real good at that. And how you've got to be fit. And he was saying how when he was, you know, younger, they used to practice, when they used to go surfing, they used to go surfing at Old Woman Island. And what they would do, they would go to the beach at heaps early in the morning, 4 o'clock probably, paddle all the way out to Old Woman Island, go surf there the whole day, and then when it started getting dark, they used to paddle all the way back from Old Woman Island back to the beach, which is crazy because then it's starting to get dark, and like I said before, when it does get dark, you know, sharks come out and eat you or you get hit by a boat or whatever it is. And so these guys, even though they're dead tired, they were, you know, forced themselves to paddle harder and harder because they needed to get back before it got dark. So yeah, discipline. Wow. I wonder if you've been watching the tennis this week and seen Australia's hopes dashed upon the rocks, except for Dasher, who's doing quite well. I've got a least favorite Australian tennis star. I wonder if you guess who it is. You get two guesses. Who wants to guess who it is? My least curious. Oh, you're all good. Yes. So poor old Nick, he's a troubled young man. He had another meltdown mid-game this week where he was like two sets up and he was just like smashing it, and then he just fell to bits again. And but I was actually encouraged by his press conference because it seems that he started to own some of the, you know, the reasons for his poor performance. He said that he didn't train enough in the off-season. And he was mucking around playing basketball too much when he should have been actually maybe playing the sport that, you know, he's supposed to be training at. And he also said that he needed a coach, to which the whole rest of the world said, well, duh, dude. Like, everyone else has a coach. Why don't you have a coach? His former coach, Josh Eagle, actually came out this week and said, yeah, the problem is Nick is he just doesn't train. He's is lucky if he spent 15 minutes a week. Sorry, that's not wrong. 15 minutes a day training. He doesn't even spend that, and which is crazy if you think about it, because he's 13th in the world, and he's someone who is not disciplining himself. And maybe if he did discipline himself, went into strict training, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, like maybe there's no limit to what he could achieve as a tennis player. For some of us today, just like what Arnie was saying, we lack discipline. Sometimes we can be a little bit like Nick Kyrgios and we can fail to spend 15 minutes a day in prayer and reading the Bible. Imagine if we disciplined ourselves and went into strict training, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, maybe there would be no limit to what we could achieve this year as Christians, as a church. Now let's do that, hey? Let's achieve great things. So Luke says, count the cost. Paul says, you lack discipline. And now John, you're not John, you're Kerry, but Kerry's reading from John's Gospel. We're going to hear what John says about abiding with me.
John 15, verses 4 to 8. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Okay, great. There's a key word in this passage, which is actually a key word in the whole of John's gospel. And it's the word remain here. Sometimes it's translated the word abide, and that's kind of like the word I picked up on. But it also means words like to dwell or to be really present and close with. This word appears over 40 times in John's gospel, and he uses it to describe two things. One, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. They are abiding together in this special relationship. And it's also used by John to talk about the relationship between Christ and a Christian, that abiding relationship. Wow, if you think about that, he's using the same word to talk about the closeness of these two relationships. Jesus is suggesting the kind of intimacy that he is after with his followers is that same closeness he has with the Father. Once again, Jesus setting the bar really high, and we're not going to get there, but that's the kind of relationship that Jesus is after with us. And the good news for us is that abiding with Jesus, remaining in him, is a pretty cool place to be. John talks elsewhere in his gospel about Jesus coming to give us life and life in all its fullness. And that's what happens when we're connected and abiding into this life-giving vine. When we are connected to the source of love, which is God, then we can love better. When we become more centered people when we are connected to Jesus, we are not, you know, not so selfish. We are drawn to holiness and goodness. If heaven is being where God is, then if God is close to us, we're abiding with him, then as we are in that relationship, it's like we are experiencing heaven on earth. So many people we connect with in the everyday seem to be desperately trying all sorts of things, trying to find happiness or satisfaction or whatever it is in their lives. I'm convinced that if more of them gave Jesus a go, they would find out that he is all they need and find that he really satisfies. And if they tried abiding with him, they might find all their needs met. Not only that, but as we are connected in the vine of Jesus, so others are connected to that same vine, and we abide in Jesus, we abide with others as well. To be a follower of Jesus is not something we do in isolation. It's something we do socially. It's a social pursuit we do together. We walk together in community, not individually. When we walk together in faith, we help each other along. And also, it's more fun when we do things with others. I must say that I may not still be surfing today if it weren't for the top blokes of the Kiwanis Life Learning to Surf Club. Just as iron sharpens iron, when we abide together in surfing and are hopeless together, we get better at it. And just as iron sharpens iron, as we abide together in a faith community, we become better Christians together. And finally, when we are abiding with Christ, when we are with him, we are better able to tackle the hard stuff that life throws our way. Some things we can plan for in life, some things we can't. Last week I was watching a movie with Sarah. You might have seen it before. It's called About Time. Anyway, she told me, hey, we should watch this movie. It's really cool. It's about time travel. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I like time travel. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Sat down and watched it. Turned out it was a rom-com in disguise. So well played, Sarah. That was very well done. But in the movie, they talk about this spoken word song that I remember from the 90s. It's a sunscreen song. And this cool line from the song. It is, the real troubles in life are the things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. You know, those things that really just knock you for six are the things you never see coming. And you can't plan for the event that can happen randomly at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday and turn your life upside down. But what you can be connected to the vine. You can abide with Jesus and therefore have everything you need to get through that 4 p.m. Tuesday disaster. And you become more resilient. Luke says, count the cost. Paul says, you lack discipline. John says, abide with me. Those are all great advice for us. If we're intentional about making wise and achievable goals in our work with Jesus for this year, if we discipline ourselves in our spiritual disciplines, and if we walk with Jesus so closely, then 2017 is going to be a great year for us individually and for us as a church. We get to live life to the full. We'll be able to handle whatever life throws at us this year, and we'll be able to get stuck into God's mission for the world. My prayer is for each of us in our faith community, that by following the teaching of these wise voices in the Bible, that we might be able to participate more fully in God's mission this year, like more than we ever have before, and really make it our mission and own that and really make a huge impact on our community. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for the inspiration that you gave the biblical authors, that your word speaks so strongly through them. And God, we hear your word even to this day of how we are to be connected with you, how we are to count the cost before we commit to things, and how we need to live disciplined lives. God, I ask that you grant myself and my friends this morning the grace that we need to be able to do those things. May we achieve great things for your kingdom this year, and may we make your mission truly our mission. Thank you, God. Looking forward to all the amazing things that you do this year, and it's going to be great. Amen.